month we're bringing messages on the prophecy and the coming of Jesus Christ. I wasn't, and still am not, a very good student of prophecy. I had difficulty with it, but it's very important that we understand just a casual reading of the Word of God will affect your heart. And you need to read the Bible and study the Bible. And we read this morning the scripture account that God thought it was important enough to put in the Bible in Luke's gospel, which gives the narrative in a broader sense and more details. Matthew is a thorough Jew. His whole aim in his gospel was to show this was a promise to the Jews. And Mark was a very hurried up first written gospel, so that Paul had some of the New Testament ideas when he was preaching. John was all about the Gentile, that God loved the whole world, not a single soul, no matter color or creed. So prophecy embedded in the Old Testament fulfilled, and we'll look at those so that you understand we have evidence. There's no reason why a person today, with the Bibles we have, with the books we have, with the biblical programs that we have, could be ignorant of the Word of God and what's going on. As I said before, Christmas is a time that we should spend time with family. I'm not denying that. But when we spend our whole paycheck and borrow on our credit card and spend money on the whole family and we can't even get to church, there's something wrong with that picture. I don't think God's very happy about that. The first prophecy I want us to look at is Jesus' birth. These are Old Testament prophecies. And it tells us that the nations will be blessed through Abraham's lineage. One of the things that I do know about prophecy is if you mess with Israel, you're messing with God's people. Now, they're not perfect, and they don't always do things right, but God has them. And they're going to get their comings up for the wrongdoings. When we study about the rapture, the next thing that happens is God begins to judge this world and the nation Israel because of the way that they have rejected the Son of God. The prophecy in Genesis 12:3 said, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." One of the things our present president is doing is rejecting the nation Israel. He's turning all the nations loose that hate Israel to go after him. And all the prophecy and time fulfilled in the president past, when President Trump was in there, was to be sure that we gave protection, restored the images in the temple and things that they needed. God said he would bless a nation, a people that did that. We read about it in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 25. "Ye are the children of the prophets." We talked a little bit in Sunday school this morning about one generation passing on to another generation. What do we pass on? What do we give to our generation coming up? Do they know the God that we know? Do they know the King James Bible that we know? Do they know the second coming of Christ? Do they know the judgment of God upon all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell, that the Bible says? Do they know that? Have we Have we done our part? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God tells us the first responsibility to the child is on the shoulders of the parent, not on the school, not on somebody else. The responsibility is on the parent to see that that child grows up with a knowledge and understanding and a correct one of God. Not one of the things that God is, people are still angry. I brought a sermon about why God doesn't answer prayer. People are still mad at God because they had a loved one to die. And I prayed God would heal him, and God did. God didn't promise any such thing. As a matter of fact, people are dying every day. And we're all going to die if the Lord don't come back. God doesn't heal every disease. Been that since the beginning of time. Got this idea, if I don't like what I'm going through, I just pray to God. And God takes us through trials and tribulations. So remember, what's going wrong out here is maybe our undoing. You are the children of the prophets of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Bless them that blesses Israel. Unto you first, the Jewish race, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. That's God's whole end game. That's his whole end thing. The whole reason for a babe in a manger was not that we just have a Christmas story. Celebrate. We celebrate our birthday. That's just the beginning. The coming. That we could live a life and help reach the people that he died for. That he could take us to heaven with him. That's God's end. His end is not to say, okay, what we do next. God knows and God has a plan. God has a plan for every individual life sitting here this morning. God has his will for you. And you find his will by being in the Word, by getting on your knees, by praying, by talking to people who know the Bible. God wants you. God loves you. God sent his son to die for you. He grew up and became a man. He's not still in the manger. He's not still on the cross. He came down off the cross. He was put in a grave. The next promise we see is God's covenant with Isaac's ancestors. Think about the history and why we study it, of why Isaac got here and how he got here. Abraham and Sarah got in a hurry. They couldn't wait on God. And they committed an evil act and brought the whole nation of the Arabs in. The prophecy said in Genesis 17:16, and God said to Abraham, now, thy wife shall bear thee a son. Indeed, not your handmaid, not some other boy, but your wife, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. God says, this is my plan. Maybe you've messed up your life. I did mine many times, but that's okay. I mean, it's not okay you did. It's okay now if you want to straighten it out with God. God's willing to forgive and forget and get to following his plan. In Romans Chapter 9:17, he said, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, they are all his children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God knows what he's doing. There's not a planet, there's not a star, there's not a bug on the ground. I told my wife, we're not going to have any bugs this summer. We're not going to have any. They all come in my house this winter, and I killed them all. So we won't have any, so we don't have to worry about them. And that's the ancestors of the ones you would have got, right? I mean, the forerunner, the parents. So God's fulfilling his promises he made. God doesn't forget. You say, tomorrow, I got to cut those weeds. 2 weeks later, I didn't cut those weeds. God's not like that. God says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. God's not bouncing around on a bubble and thinking, oh, what do I do now? A storm got loose and tore up that town. You know what those people were doing? Standing on a pile of rubbish, singing hymns to the glory of God. God will get you some way, somewhere, if you don't follow his will. So if you haven't been, it's time to get in it, because your number may be next. That's why I have that telephone up here. If he calls, you can answer. Okay, yeah, there. No, they didn't come today, God. Okay? You understand that? Then we see that the nations will be blessed through Jacob's offspring. All the other nations around. The world's been blessed by America. They want to come here and live like they lived over there. I don't understand that. Go back where you lived. He says in the prophecy, Genesis 28:14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. That's a lot of people. He's talking to Abraham. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Never has there been a nation like the nation Israel and the United States that was able to bless other nations. People gripe about the wars we fight. We've freed more people, liberated more people. World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, on and on and on. Down in Romania, when they had the hospital down there, had the doctors down there, and all those people went down there to study. Some of them were students who had, you know, had their life all wrapped up in socialism. Ronald Reagan sent a fleet down, went to bed, they got them people out. When they got to America, they got on their knees and kissed the ground. Americans brought them back. It wasn't some other foreign nation. In Luke 3:34, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Thyra, which was the son of Nahor. Jesus fulfilled the lineage sign. He had to be born. We'll see in my upcoming sermons, certain place, certain time, to certain parents, because God said it, and God's word will not return to him void. God's word won't go back. God doesn't scratch his head and change his mind and say, oh, well, we better move it over here. We have to move it over there. No. And the sign was, a virgin will give birth, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. We see the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, fulfilled in Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. There is no other saviors. You know where all the gods of this world are today? The people who worship Muhammad are where? You know where they are? In the ground. In the ground. They're dead. Every one. People go around and say, oh, I can see some good in all religions. No, all their leaders are dead. All their leaders are dead. Jesus Christ is alive and well, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God right now. And until he is tapped and God says, go bring him home, he'll sit there, and then he will do that and come to this earth and take his people back because of that. The angel, he'll be called the Son of God. That Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Of all the places to be born, of importance was not Bethlehem, a little town. That's why we sing, oh, little town, little unknown parents. Nobody knew them outside of their hometown. He said in Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old for everlasting. God has it all lined up, folks. The God that can do all this, the God can hang all those stars in place. He can put your life right where he wants it. And I say to you this morning, you'll never be happy. You'll chase rainbows. You'll chase stories. You'll play the lottery. You'll do everything trying to find your big moment. But your big moment is with God. Meet with God. Only God can satisfy the needs of your heart. He knows you. He knows what your problems are. He knows what winds you up. He knows what kicks you, what makes you feel bad. We see in Matthew chapter 2, verse 4, the fulfilling. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. The king wanted to know where he was so he could kill him, because he didn't want any other king. He wanted to be the king. Send for more taxes. Going on and on. Tell me something. I cannot get it in my thick head how we can kill millions of babies and we can run to the border and let illegals come in. What kind of government do we have? We kill babies. We kill them. We kill them. We kill them. And we kill them. And we keep coming and keep arguing. And the Supreme Court is sitting there arguing about when we should kill them. After 2 weeks? After a few? At birth, when do we kill them? And they'll go crazy because one family come across and the kid got lost from its mother. We're nuts. We're nuts. We don't have a brain in our head. And these are supposed to be, they tell you where these people went to school, what kind of degree they had, how much they know about law. We got a law that says we shouldn't kill. And we kill the babies. The very most unprotected, most innocent among us is put to death by our own hands, not by some foreign power, but we kill him. And he said, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, But out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Jesus, the rock, is one day going to rule with a rod of iron. He will be the king. We've kicked the king out of everything. We don't have any king. We've read here in our study Sunday night or Wednesday night, a time when there was no king in Israel. And things went crazy. Well, guess what? No king in America. What's the conclusion of all this prophecy and all this detailed information? Well, what's the conclusion of all that? Paul penned it for us well. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, he hath made Jesus to be sin for us. Do you understand that? Jesus became sin, the perfect Son of God, who knew no sin. Sin had not touched him till Calvary. Sin had never touched his lips, nor his mind, nor his body in any way. He was not disobedient, but sin touched him at Calvary. He that knew no sin became our sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. We were made just like Jesus. That Jesus had no sin, now we have no sin. Glory to God. Saved, saved to the uttermost. Aren't you glad you know the man of the prophecies? Aren't you glad you know him who is willing now to give you eternal life? Aren't you glad? And if you have not, be quick to do that, my brother, my sister. Be quick to do that. Time is running out. What happened out in Mayfield, Kentucky? As soon as I saw it, I thought, my, more of the prophecy fulfilled. In the last days, there shall be wars and rumors of wars and many storms in many different places. It's happening about us. It's happening right now. We're not going to be there tomorrow. We may be there today. Who knows? Are you ready to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He's coming, folks. He's coming. Are you honoring him with your life, your testimony? Or as Tony said this morning, are you playing at Christianity? Or are you a real Christian? You know you're saved on your way to heaven. Stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, as we stand in the comfort of this building and hear the message, we'll have no excuse if we don't know him for our disobedience. If we walk out that door this morning having heard the message and have not trusted him, we'll have no excuse. We'll hear those dreadful words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." When he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, with all your trials and problems and wishes and questions, come to me. Come to me." Jesus is begging now. He will ride the big white horse the next time and send those into outer darkness where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh God, let no one go out unprepared, man, woman, boy, or child. While the piano begins to play, the altar's open. I'll meet you there if you would come. If you need Jesus, maybe you need to come and pray for mom and dad, grandpa and grandma. Maybe you need to come and pray for the grandkids, your kids. This altar's open. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. Come to Jesus today. He loves you. He died for you. That's not just for other people. It's for everybody. Come now while he's waiting. come now. Tomorrow may be too late. Left house or lands, husband or wife or children. What he said would reward you many times. Thank God we know the Savior. We're all okay. Amen? But Paul, would you have a closing prayer?